first, a happier topic, the Katy Trail, and all the moves going on to finally, and I mean finally, link Kansas City with the 238-mile trail, which is considered the longest rails-to-trails project in the entire country. Can it be connected to Kansas City? The answer is yes, I think. Here to talk about it are Mike Sanders. He's a Jackson County executive. Mike, welcome back. Always good to have you.
Steve, thanks for having me.
Eric Rogers is here. He handles advocacy issues for Bike Walk KC. That's a nonprofit that works to make Greater Kansas City a more accessible place to walk, bicycle, live, and work. And Eric, nice to have you too.
Thanks for having me.
Eric, let's start, if we can, with the dream of having Kansas City connected to the east, to the Katy Trail, and to the west with Kansas's Flint Hills Nature Trail. Someday, what will a bike rider or a walker or a runner be able to do around here?
So someday, someone could ride from the Gateway Arch in St. Louis all the way to the Truman Sports Complex in Kansas City, and then
say that again, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis all the way
to the Truman Sports Complex in Kansas City. Yep.
Right here in the heart of Jackson County.
Right. And then beyond that, out to Kansas and the Flint Hills Nature Trail, up to Topeka on the Landon Trail, and beyond that, eventually up to the north along the Missouri River to St. Joe and on up to Omaha. And really, Kansas City is the nexus of four states and possible connections between all four of those states, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska.
And this is all, Eric, without ever getting off the trail. You can go all these places.
Yep. Eventually, you'll be able to do it totally on the trail, off of the road, separate from car traffic.
What do you make of that?
I make of it as an exciting opportunity.
I mean, it's just incredible.
Together. Yeah, it's very incredible. It's something that is the reality in many other places around the country and is quickly becoming the reality here in Kansas City.
Mike Sanders, you have been in the weeds on this issue for a very long time. Talk to me about the dream a little bit. How exciting is this? Because we're a little behind the a little behind the curve in terms of, as Eric points out, what other cities have done here, and we're almost finally there.
We absolutely are. And you go back and look at what is the transit corridor that begins to put all this together. How do you get from the St. Louis Arch to downtown Kansas City? How do you intersect then with Kansas City trails, hiking and biking trails, with Independence, with Blue Springs, Lee's Summit, Raytown? Something that really brings this entire community together and hooks into the bigger system of the Katy Trail and over to Kansas. And it's the old Rock Island Corridor. It was shut down in 1982. It's owned by the Union Pacific Railroad.
Yeah.
Last year, we inked an historic agreement. This has been attempted for 30-plus years. We finally got an agreement with the Union Pacific. We've been working at this for 18 months, seriously, with the Union Pacific. They agreed to then sell us that rail corridor, which can be used for rails. It can be used for trails, hiking, biking, utility easements. We would own it in fee simple, right? They've agreed to sell us that for $59 million. And, Steve, that's almost 25 miles of contiguous rail corridor. You can't underestimate its ability to transform this entire community. What it also allows
And just for some perspective and some context here, this has been the difficult piece of this entire stretch from Kansas City to St. Louis. This little nut has been driving people nuts for a while.
There's no other way to put it together. There's no other way to get to downtown Kansas City but for this rail corridor. There's really no other way to begin to put together commuter rail but for this rail corridor. It was a necessary condition of whether it's mass transit, trails, hiking, biking, all of these amenities, linking all of these communities together. It's really the only way to do it. It's the best way to do it, and we do it very economically. Now, here's the sort of golden nugget here as well, and that is it was used as a commercial rail corridor for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Along that route, you still have rail lines, bridges, it's all right there. They would all need to be welded together and re-looked at, but you're then able pretty inexpensively to begin to piece together 25 miles of commuter rail line as well, should that be where we ultimately go.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you can't underestimate just the raw potential that this has. You know, here in Jackson County, we've got an ability to do something with that rail corridor unlike virtually any other community in the United States. These contiguous rail corridors that are underutilized, that we have, that we can purchase, that we can then put for rails and trails and link this community in a way very inexpensively. Now, here's a key component of this, too. We think we can do this without asking for any additional tax revenue. We think this is
really
such absolutely.
Because this carries a $60 million cost to this 25-mile stretch you're talking about.
25 miles, and so you look at it, it's a little more than $2 million a mile. I mean, that's peanuts in the grand scheme of things. It has such broad—
Peanuts to you, real money to me. That's the difference between you
and
me.
Well, sure, yeah. In the governmental sense.
Yes.
There are enough dollars out there. There are enough revenue dollars, whether it's from the state of Missouri, which are very, very extremely excited about hooking in with the Katy Trail. The federal government that sees this as a transformative project for the Midwest in so many ways. Or local governments, Lee's Summit, Raytown, Blue Springs, Independence. We're all working in partnership to make this happen. And because of that partnership, because of the historic nature, the transformative nature, we think we can put all of this together. And this is saying a lot. Put all this together, purchase this rail corridor without asking for any additional tax dollars.
That's amazing. You know, Eric, again, pardon my level of excitement about this, because I know as a young reporter covering Katy Trail issues in Jefferson City back in the late 80s, this was being talked about going back that far. How far back does all this chatter go about trying to extend a trail across the state of Missouri?
Oh, it probably goes back to the 80s at least.
At least, yeah.
You know, it's been a long-term vision for many folks, all the way back to Ted and Pat Jones, who really enabled the original Katy Trail and have continued to support it.
Ted and Pat Jones?
They are some... folks out of the St. Louis area, Edward Jones Investments, they were one of the original private donors who helped enable the Department of Natural Resources and Missouri State Parks to get that corridor and to get the original Katy Trail kicked off and get it going. And that's really kind of one of the exciting things about the Katy Trail is it's something that has really engendered a lot of support across many sectors, whether it's public, private, nonprofit, corporate. Really brings together all different facets of Kansas City,
you know,
from the urban to the rural and in between.
Eric, if Mike Sanders can work his magic and this 25-mile connection that he's talking about here through southeast Jackson County going out to the rest of the trail, if this happens, what does that make the Katy Trail and the network that sort of comes together in Kansas City, how big is it compared to other trail networks in the country?
Well, I believe the Katy Trail currently is the longest contiguous rail trail
in the
country.
As I said in the opening, yeah.
Yeah. And so as other states are developing rail trails, folks are getting closer to the mileage on the Katy Trail. This would allow us to continue to have bragging rights for the longest rail trail in the country as we expand it.
And this little 25-mile length of track that we're talking about here today, this is really preventing Kansas City from sort of fully engaging in the Katy Trail in the same way that so many other communities across Missouri have been doing for a while.
Yes, exactly. If you look in any of the small towns along the current Katy Trail, most of those towns were essentially ghost towns, you know, by the late 70s, early 80s. And because of the Katy Trail and the tourism and the commerce it's brought, most of those trails are – those towns are now thriving with shops, restaurants, wineries, breweries, all sorts of things. It's really saved a lot of small towns across Missouri. And right now, all of that tourism and economic development stops in Windsor and Sedalia.
Yeah.
And so that's something that really needs to be pulled into Kansas City.
Mike Sanders, Jackson County Executive, how long have you been working on this issue? You've been in office now for several years. How long has it been? Was it one of the first things you began to work on when you came into office?
It was one of the big picture items. There are a number of things we worked on. Actually, this is the 5-year anniversary of us unveiling what we thought the commuter rail plan could be. It was October of 2009. So we're kind of reaching a 5-year anniversary here. Progress for us. Now, and by the way, when we started this, we were told a couple of things, one of which would never occur, and that is it's a great idea on a map, but you're never going to get an agreement with the Union Pacific Railroad. We were told that from the very beginning.
I remember hearing it.
And you know what? We have that agreement. The Union Pacific has been an amazing partner for this community, so we've got that. The ball continues to just get moved forward, and that's the way mass transit gets moved forward in any community. This isn't a sprint. This is a marathon, and it takes time to put this together, and you have to get the community behind it and see the big picture and how we put mass in terms of transit, how we link this entire community, hiking trails, biking trails, buses, certainly rail transit, how we become a modern city that becomes attractive to the next intellectual entrepreneurs of tomorrow. So we're really 5 years at this. It really for us started with the big vision as we started to mine down into more of the nuts and bolts and details. And so once again, I mean, we've got this historic agreement with the Union Pacific, and I think I can say this without overpromising here, but in the next 30 to 60 days, we think we may have another what we think is very exciting announcement for the people of this community concerning this issue.
Let me talk a little bit about what you're up against here, because I threw out a figure a few minutes ago that I don't want to blow by without stopping and thinking about it a little bit. $59 million, to be precise, $60 million in round numbers is what you need to purchase this 25-mile stretch. Where does Jackson County and where do these smaller towns, Lee Summit, you know, going out southeast here, get $60 million, Mike?
Well, there are a couple of ways to do it. One would be within the agreement itself with the Union Pacific, there are what we'll call it's in the colloquialism, owner financing provisions, where over a period of years, the Union Pacific would explore how we buy that over a period of time, like you're buying a car or you're buying a house. So that's number one. The Union Pacific has been a great partner in that. Regardless, I mean, you can look at tax anticipation notes or bonding capacities with regards to these communities. For each of us, it would be a few hundred thousand dollars to $500,000 that we would throw into a pot collectively. I mean, you do this collectively. You do this with your partners, the partners in Eastern Jackson County and through Jackson County that come together to buy this. All of us together can get this done. And what has been true throughout this, whether it's the Mayor Dave Bauer of Raytown, Randy Rhodes of Lee Summit, Carson Ross of Blue Springs, new Mayor Eileen Weir in Independence, we are all working together to make sure that this gets done. We don't want to see this historic opportunity pass us by. You know, for almost 40 years, people have been trying to purchase this rail right away. We were told you weren't going to get an agreement. We have one. We can't let this opportunity pass us by. All of us working together with the state, with the federal government, can absolutely make this happen and do so in a way that's very economical.
Not to bang on you too hard about this, but again, $60 million strikes me as a lot of money. The federal government is pulling back in so many ways. The state of Missouri doesn't seem to have a lot of money to slosh around these days and help out with a project like this. How do you begin to piece together $60 million bucks?
You wield a sharp pencil. And what you do is you all come together, you collectively look at your bargaining power, you leverage all the federal grants you have. Let me do this. Let's wait for the financing plan about 60 days. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
I think we're going to have a nice, exciting announcement here within the next 60 days. It can be done, though, Steve.
Bottom line is you're optimistic. You're saying we can get there.
I'm beyond optimistic. I think this is going to happen, and I think this is something we're going to get done. We're going to get done for this community and do so in a very economical way and something that's going to potentially change the trajectory of this community for the next 40, 50 years.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, and if I could just put it in a little bit bigger perspective, $60 million sounds like a lot of money, but when you think about it in terms of the other things that government invests in, especially with infrastructure, it's really not a lot of money. If you think about we spent $200 million on the Bond Bridge, $250 million on fixing the Grandview Triangle.
That's a good point.
Think about it in terms of, you know, a light rail vehicle is $18 million or something like that. And so the amount of bang for the buck that you get with something like this, as well as the opportunity in the future to add in transit and commuter rail and all those other benefits, is really, even though it sounds like a lot of money on its own, if you think about it in context with everything else that we invest public dollars in, it's very economical.
And once again, it's everybody pooling their resources. It's all of these groups coming together, looking at the bigger picture, pooling their resources to get this done in a way that doesn't raise taxes. You know, there's no intention of going to a ballot and say, hey, if you give us X amount of sales tax increase, we're going to get this done. We think if we wield a sharp pencil, we're smart. We're smart about how we do this. We're methodical, right, and very thoughtful. We think we can do this all internally. It's not idle speculation. Those conversations are already beginning to occur. Additionally, because of the attractiveness of hiking and biking trails and this transformative nature of this project, there are federal grants out there to be had. There are federal dollars out there. As we look at diminishing dollars for rail projects and highway projects, we get all that. But in terms of trail, there are still huge pots of money, or big pots, I should say, to be had. Yeah. We think we can access all this, put this together very, very attractively.
The trail piece alone is going to generate its own economic impact. You know, there's really interesting data coming out now showing the National Association of Realtors has found that homes along trails sell for 10 to 15% more than homes without access to a trail.
Yeah.
So think about what that does to property tax revenues. Or in New York City, they found when they added bike lanes to Fifth Avenue, retail receipts went up 50%. And so we also know that folks that arrive at a business on a bike, they visit more often, more frequently, they spend more money, they have a bigger impact, and the business has to spend less money on parking and accommodations for cars.
So you're telling me the old Santa Fe Trail, which goes within a few blocks of my house, I can get a little more money from my house than I thought I could.
Yeah, I think you can.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something, Mike? Yeah.
Well, and you look at it in terms of creating a community that people want to live in the future. If you look at two major demographic bubbles that we have right now, it's the baby boomer generation starting to plan for life outside of a car for a variety of reasons. But you look at millennials, 35 and younger, and pull millennials and look at who is going to be the next H&R Block or Don Hall. You know, who are the next entrepreneurs of this generation? And what communities do they want to live in? Just ask them. Just poll them. Poll after poll after poll shows that they want to live in a community with transit options. They're getting out of their car for the first time in U.S. history since I think it's 1942. Fewer than 50% of people 16 or older are even seeking a driver's license in the United States. You've got to start planning for that. Beyond that, a poll was done of people 35 and younger, and they were asked, would you rather have a brand new car or a brand new iPhone, 35 and younger? Two out of three chose the iPhone over a brand new car. We have to begin to plan for tomorrow, and that is mass transit. That's in a very broad way, intersecting, bringing this community together through hiking trails, biking trails, intersecting the suburbs of downtown Kansas City and all of the economic development that's going to generate, but also how we begin to plan for these demographics of the future. It's and it continues to be the communities that move goods, services, and people the most efficiently are those that are going to compete on a global scale. We have to start thinking bigger. We're not competing with Omaha or Oklahoma City or Des Moines. We're competing with Shanghai, Dubai. If you talk to business owners around this community, they're competing on a global scale. Yeah. We have to begin to help them compete on the global scale if we're going to grow Kansas City for the future.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about this question, will Kansas City ever be connected to the Katy Trail, this railroad corridor that stretches across the state of Missouri? Mike Sanders, the Jackson County executive, is making some news this morning. He says we're going to get connected. I want to know how much interest our listeners have in getting on the Katy Trail and using it once it gets connected to Kansas City. How much would you use the trail, and what are you looking forward to most once we have it? 816-235-2888 is our number. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. You know, Eric, one thing about this project that intrigues me so much, if you get on your group's website and take a look at the map that for Bike Walk Kansas City, and take a look at the map of the Katy Trail, it intervenes with the Missouri River so much. You have different places to stop and view the river. You know, our community so much, it's been said so many times, we ignore the river so much. Here's a new chance to really interact with that river in a way that so many of us never have.
Exactly. You know, and that's something that a lot of other cities have done a much better job at, is using trails as a way to access their riverfronts, looking at places like St. Louis and Omaha and others, and really using the trail as the vehicle to leverage those assets and really drive change along riverfronts.
Yeah. Mike, you feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an amenity that people want to have. I mean, if you think about one of the largest contiguous trail structures in the United States, east to west, what's that mean for all of us? And it, what it also does, though, is it allows all of the individual plans that you have within Kansas City, which right now is contained within Kansas City or Independence, it allows us to bring all of those together. So it's not just going from the stadiums all the way to, you know, the Arch in St. Louis, but it's the ability to go from Buckner or Levesey to those areas or to go from the stadiums to Longview Lake.
So those towns are hungry for this.
They're absolutely hungry for it, and the people want this. Now, we extended roughly a mile, 1.3 miles of the Little Blue Trace Trail, which, by the way, intersects from the northwest down to the southeast. I'm sorry, the other way, southwest to the northeast of Jackson County. We extended 1.3 miles, and the question was, well, how many people are going to be on that? Anytime you look at that trail day, day or night, but throughout the sort of working hours of the day, people are all involved in that trail. It's amazing to be the number of people that access that trail system. How much bigger does that get if you then intersect with the Katy Trail and all these other communities?
Yeah.
I think we can't underestimate how important that of an amenity that is for all of us.
Let's go to some phone calls here. We're talking about the Katy Trail. How excited are you that this thing might finally get connected to Kansas City? Let's go to Greg from Brookside. Greg, you're on Up to Date.
Well, I'm interested in that for sure, but I'm also interested in how you get from the stadiums to downtown. And I really applaud Mike Sanders for his work and vision. I think he really is the true visionary politically in this issue. Can you get this ultimately from the stadiums downtown?
Good question, Greg. I was going to ask you about commuter rail and give us an update.
The short answer is yes. And the one other, and thank you. The short answer is yes. What we also did, part of the agreement that we have with the Union Pacific Railroad, is to begin to explore their what's called Sedalia subroute to get us ultimately to 3rd and Grand, which is where the 2-mile circulator route that Kansas City currently has under construction goes. And so, yes, you can. If you do this along the commuter rail routes, once again, we can do this very inexpensively in the grand scheme of things. But those rail corridors are there. Those underutilized rail corridors are there. This won't happen overnight. It takes time to study this, time to put this together. You have to be methodical about this, thoughtful, but it can all get done, and it can be transformative for this city.
I mean, where do you see that playing out? When do you think we could have commuter rail in this community?
Well, if we ultimately ink the deal, and it depends on commuter rail in what sense. If you have 25 miles of commuter rail line that ultimately go from Lee Summit, Raytown, Blue Springs, Independence to the stadiums, right, you have that. Ultimately, that can be done fairly quickly once you purchase these rail corridors. The tracks are essentially there. There are trains that run along the old Pigsley Spur. I mean, it's essentially there to be utilized. The issue, though, becomes how then do you link those trail systems with ultimately downtown Kansas City? How do you get that done? And that, I think that's still several years away in terms of working with our partners at the Union Pacific, but those conversations are are ongoing. They're willing to explore that opportunity. I think that ultimately can get done. It just takes a little bit of time. But I think we're taking all the necessary steps to continue to methodically move this ball forward in a way that makes mass transit viable in this community for the first time.
You know, I'm wondering, Eric, Eric Rogers from Bike Walk Kansas City, what about the amenities that might come along this trail? I mean, can you talk a little bit about the ability to rent a bike, the ability to stop at a restaurant, and those kinds of things that might be available once we get this thing up and rolling in our neck of the woods here?
Sure. I mean, the really nice thing about this plan is that, you know, the county can solve the hard part and get the corridor, and then each community along the trail can figure out what's the best integration for that community.
Yeah.
So in Independence, you know, is it bike lanes to get you to the Independence Square or to the Independence Center area? In Lee's Summit, is it bike lanes that can get you to downtown Main Street, Lee's Summit? And from, you know, there, it's figuring out, you know, where can we eventually, when we have train stations, can we co-locate bike share stations? Mm-hmm. So you have a way to get to and from the train station other than driving. Can we integrate the transit system so that the buses can take you to and from the train stations? You know, the really nice thing about the way that the county is approaching this is really looking at the best practices of what has worked well in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you take a really integrated approach that includes commuter rail, local bus service, streetcar, trails, bike lanes, bike share, all of it, rather than trying to break out different pieces that are really good on their own merits, but not integrating in a way that really makes one cohesive system that gives everybody many different options.
You know, I think this is really a big deal for our community. Yeah. You can't tell by the sound of my voice. I think this is one of those moments that comes along once in a while. John from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning, John.
Yes, sir. Is this a rails to trails or a rails and trails project for the 25 miles of this area that you're considering purchasing? Because if you have rails, it's hard to have trails and have liability issues there also. So is this sort of a joint use project?
Good question, John. Mike Sanders?
100-foot right-of-ways along this entire area. Some are actually a little broader than that. And so the ability to use commuter rail corridors, that's no longer commercial. So it's not the commercial rail because there are immense liability issues. I mean, you know, rock can fly off of trains. There are huge issues there. That's not the case here. This is going to actually be, if we purchase this, this will actually be owned by Jackson County. The ability and capacity to then convert what's owned by Jackson County and ultimately all these broader communities to convert that to trails and then ultimately down the road utilize it for, you know, much simpler, much easier, much smaller commuter rail routes has been done throughout the United States. So it's not real complex.
Do the rails remain then?
The rails remain. I mean, our intention would be.
And then the trail then will go alongside the rail.
Other communities have done this. It's incredibly successful. And I think that's also the most economical way to do it. And, you know, in our community, the ability to put this together very inexpensively in the grand scheme of things relies upon that concept. You're taking something which is an underutilized asset in terms of abandoned rail right of way. Bridges already in place, rail already in place, how you put that together in a way that doesn't necessitate that huge outlay of cash. Additionally, beyond that, putting together the corridors can take decades sometimes to put that together. It's all right there for us. Other communities have done this and done it incredibly successfully. So you're modeling, as Eric said, best practices around the United States, and we're able to put this together for $59 million.
Do you pave the trail, or is it – I've seen photos of the Katy, and I've been on it. It's still rocky and dirt. And what do you do there?
Well, that's the logistics. And do you pave it? Do you go with what the Katy Trail looks like? And this is something we'd look at people like Eric to tell us what's the best practice. I don't think there's one-size-fits-all answer. You know, the idea would be that if it wants to be contiguous with the Katy Trail, you have similar type of surface structure all throughout that trail. But ultimately, that's a detail that we deal with ultimately down the road. But it's all there to be done, whether it's paved, whether it's concrete, whether it's asphalt, whether it's rock. That's ultimately going to be up to the planners to decide and people like Eric.
Eric, what do you want to see along the trail? Paved or dirt, or how would it work for bike riders along that trail?
It's really, you know, it really varies in each community. And it's, you know, in some communities, the trail is going to be more recreation and fitness oriented. In other communities, it's going to have a really strong transportation use. Paved trails are more accessible year round and can really provide something that commuters can rely on every day during the winter and other seasons. You know, there's a lot of work to be done with the transportation engineers and all the folks who are going to make those decisions.
Yeah.
The important part is just getting the corridor now and get it in place so we can work out the details going forward.
Pat from Napoleon, Missouri. Pat, good morning.
I have a quick question. How can we get the small towns along the I-70 corridor, Old Grove, Grain Valley, and on into the western part of the city, how can we get them included in something, either a spur off of the Katy Trail or your commuter rail? Because there are a lot of small communities along I-70 that would greatly benefit from these things.
Well, and not only that, we just saw the 3/4-cent sales tax go down, and the issue of how we continue to repair and take cars essentially off I-70. The Kansas City Southern Railroad owns a route that essentially runs from Arrowhead and Kauffman all the way out to, holy cow, I think it's St. Louis. So there's that rail corridor that currently exists. Mm-hmm. The county had initially engaged in some conversations with the Kansas City Southern Railroad. Those conversations have stopped for the time being. We think that those will probably get reengaged at some point. But regardless, in talking with the folks at MoDOT, you have a great desire by MoDOT, the surrounding communities, to begin to think about planning for how we take traffic off of the I-70 corridor, how we look at these sort of options and alternatives, and doing so in a very economical way. So those plans are out there. They exist. If you look at underutilized rail corridor, we've got one that runs all the way from essentially outside of Arrowhead and Kauffman all the way to St. Louis. It's there. But once again, negotiations with the railroads take time. They don't happen overnight. But ultimately, it can be done just like we're looking at along the Rock Island route. And you are absolutely right. You piece those two components together, you've got a rail transit plan for pennies of what you could do it for in other communities that absolutely transforms this entire metropolitan area.
Hmm. Oh, yes. And the demographics, I mean, the workforce, I mean, you can take them anywhere.
Absolutely.
Into the city or into, you know, it's too far to commute over into Kansas, but on a rail system. And then, of course, the recreation factor with the bike trails, either one. But something, please.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Steve, and it's interesting to me that we've gotten a call from Napoleon, Missouri.
Absolutely.
What I have found is that, and this is sort of counterintuitive, you would have thought the further you get from downtown, the less support there would be. We have found, in fact, the opposite. When you start talking about commuter rail and these mass transit plans, not small, but big mass transit plans, support actually gets more solid the further we get from downtown Kansas City. And you know why? Ultimately, it's self-interest. We see how it could transform Lee Summit or Napoleon or mm-hmm. Bates City or Buckner or Grain Valley or Blue Springs, and we all see the value in being able to catch the train to go to downtown Kansas City. It makes absolute sense for those communities, for all of these communities. So you find, as we continue to poll, this mass transit in this sense remains very popular in this metropolitan area, and it does so because it has the capacity to impact us in ways other plans just can't.
Pat, thank you for the call. I guess to summarize here, Mike, an announcement coming 30 to 60 days.
Our hope is.
An upbeat announcement,
Our hope is here down the road. Right.
Okay, we'll look forward to hearing about that. I want to thank you for coming in, as always. That's Mike Sanders, the Jackson County Executive, and Eric Rogers, who handles advocacy issues for Bike Walk KC. Eric, you were great. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.